This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The North Carolina General Assembly convened this morning for its long session of 2015.
This being the time and place established by General Statute 120-11.1 for the convening of the 2015 session of the General Assembly of North Carolina, the Senate will be in order.
Yeah, the Senate is in order. Lieutenant Governor Dan Forrest, the one who called them to order today. The Senate elected Republican Phil Berger for his third term as Senate President pro tem. He and the House also today swore in a new speaker. Republican Tim Moore of Kings Mountain will replace now U.S. Senator Tom Tillis. The main purpose of the long session is to pass a new budget, but the General Assembly has lots more on the agenda. Joining us now to talk about that, morning ceremonies and a preview of the legislative session, is WUNC reporter Rima Crace. Hello, Rima.
Hi.
We talked about this being the main purpose, of course, passing a budget, but let's step back a little bit and get the total scope of a long session and find out who makes up this General Assembly.
Right. So as you said, the main objective is to craft a budget, and we'll likely go into the summertime. And just to give you a sense of what the General Assembly looks like right now, we have about 20 new members. Last year, we had about 50. But we still have a Republican majority in the Senate and the House and, of course, in the governor's office. And, you know, they'll likely pick up some of the things they talked about in last session. And they'll discuss major issues, of course, like jobs and education. And, you know, it's we're now a few years now. The Republican has had leadership, and they've already passed a lot of their broad-scale conservative changes, right? We've already seen sweeping legislation to lower taxes on businesses, tighter rules on abortion and voting, and they've declined to extend Medicaid coverage. That might be an issue that they pick up again, since the governor is in favor of expanding Medicaid for the uninsured, for the low-income and disabled. But again, you know, when Representative Tim Moore, now House Speaker, was up there today at the podium, he said, my number one priority will be jobs. And of course, he's been saying that now for a while, but we'll have to see how he actually makes that happen.
Well, let's hear him on his first day as Speaker of the House.
We probably need to make priority number one jobs in this state. What can we do to retain the industries, the companies, the businesses we have, and to recruit new ones? I pledge to you as your Speaker, I will do all I can in this body to make sure that we pass policies and laws that do just that, that we bring jobs to this state, that we keep taxes low, that we invest in infrastructure, and that we continue to move North Carolina forward.
All right, there's Tim Moore, recently elected Republican House Speaker. And, of course, there could be the first confrontation or source of friction between Republicans in the legislature and the governor. The governor has been pushing for more and more incentives to create jobs. That has not been forthcoming. Any sense that that Republicans in the legislature, House or Senate, have an interest in talking about the governor's priority of creating more incentives?
Right. Well, as you might remember, last year there was, as you said, a huge debate over economic incentives. And really the House Republicans were divided on the issue, but Moore actually voted in favor of it. So like the governor, he believed that it would create jobs and bring economic development and that it's really necessary for our state. Of course, some of the folks who are against it, and these are Democrats and Republicans, have seen it as, you know, nothing more than a corporate handout to favored businesses. They want to see it done more responsibly if it is done. But Moore has said that, you know, he wants to do whatever is needed to get more jobs and stay competitive, whether that means catalyst funds or tax credits or changes to the incentives.
All right. And we talked about, you mentioned the possibility of expanding Medicaid. The legislature and governor chose not to do that under the Affordable Care Act. That left half a million North Carolinians without coverage, and it turned back tens of millions of federal dollars. Now there's talk of possible Medicaid expansion. Is that talk now being taken seriously now that the legislature is in session?
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see. Tim Moore, I don't recall if he said anything specific about it today on the stand. I don't think he did. But he's been on the record saying that he does not favor expansion. And the governor has said that he's reconsidering whether, of course, the state should expand the health insurance system for the poor and disabled under the Federal Affordable Care Act. also known as Obamacare, to help ensure the growing number of North Carolinians who don't have health care. And so under this plan, the federal government would pay the full expansion costs for the first 3 years, and then they would gradually reduce it over time. And so folks like Tim Moore and other Republicans have said, well, I don't know if we should do that because they see it as expanding government and maybe potentially costing the state millions of dollars that it can't afford later on. And again, for Moore and for others who look at statistics like the high statistics of North Carolinians living in poverty, they say really our focus should be on jobs and that those are the more lasting benefits.
All right. Well, we've heard from Tim Moore. He is the new leader of the House. Returning in Senate leadership position is Phil Berger. He also spoke today.
We'll explore even more ways to improve the business tax climate so more jobs can be created, and ways to make taxes less burdensome for our families so regular folks can keep more of their own money. We'll renew our efforts to reduce regulatory burdens that misdirect time and energy toward red tape and bureaucracy and away from growing businesses and getting people back to work.
All right. There is recently elected Senate President Pro Tem Phil Berger. He's talked about jobs. He's talked about lowering taxes even more now. Also been vocal about introducing legislation that would have an impact on same-sex couples in the state, even though the U.S. Supreme Court has spoken. It seems like Phil Berger would like to make it harder to have a same-sex marriage in the state. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So as you said, back in October, there were federal court rulings that struck down the state's constitutional ban on gay marriage that was enacted by voters a couple of years ago. And so Berger and now Tim Moore has recently joined him, have been asking the U.S. Supreme Court to quickly hear their appeal to reverse the lower court rulings that legalize gay marriage in the state. And he said that he would propose a bill that would allow magistrates and registrar of deeds to refuse giving same-sex couples or refuse marrying same-sex couples on religious grounds. And we've already heard a number of magistrates quit when same-sex marriage became legal last year. I haven't seen any legislation about that yet, but I'm sure against the backdrop of this appeal that they're filing that we'll likely see some legislation regarding same-sex couples and gay marriage.
We're talking about the opening of the long session, the 2015 session of the General Assembly, today on The State of Things. Rima Crace is with me, legislative correspondent. Phil Berger, also a big player in the education debate, and he also talked about that in his opening address. Let's listen to Phil Berger on education.
We'll continue working to improve our public schools because we recognize that a great education not only opens the door to a bright future for our children, it also builds a capable workforce and will attract businesses to our state. And we'll fulfill our important promise to raise starting teacher pay to $35,000 so we can attract and retain the best talent in our classrooms.
All right. So there he's talking about raising teacher pay, but also talked about cutting taxes. The only way you can do that is if you cut out other public services. So that means trimming more from the public service budget in the state if you're not going to raise more money to pay them. So that's one thing we'll have to keep an eye on, how they're going to do that in the coming session. But also other issues on education, charter school growth, a new grading scale for schools. Tell us about some of the other issues facing the legislature.
Right. As you said, teacher salaries is going to be a big issue. They want to raise it to $35,000, but of course that might mean cutting back on resources in schools, maybe teacher assistants or other tools. As you mentioned, there's charter schools. There's a new grading system for public schools. So looking at charter schools, we've seen a really pretty big expansion of charter schools in the last few years since the cap was lifted. It's been steadily growing. So the cap was lifted in 2011. So there have there's about almost 150 charter schools. And just recently, the state approved 11 more. So they've been steadily growing. And with this growth, there have been also lots of conversations from local school districts, surprisingly, who want to remain competitive. Of course, we know that there's tension. There's always been tension between charter schools and traditional public schools. So to stay competitive, local school districts have expressed a desire to have authority to own their own charter schools. There are models like this across the country, but this would be new for North Carolina. And you know, I was talking with some superintendents yesterday, and on almost all of them expressed support for this idea because they want to have more of a say on where their charter schools are built, what kind of specialization they have. They want to have control over the calendars, over the staffing, and the way that charter schools have those flexibilities. I've also talked with lawmakers who say they support this idea. Of course, the details will have to be figured out, but I imagine that they'll pass or consider legislation about how local school districts can have authority over their own charter schools. And then the second thing you mentioned was a new grading system for public schools. So next month will be the first time that North Carolina will assign grades to public schools, so A, B, C, D, or F. And those grades will be largely dictated, or in part dictated, by how well students do on tests.
Yeah, we should point out and underscore what you just said. That grading system grades the schools, not the students. So the A through F grading system actually applies to the schools based on how the students do in their standardized test. Thank you so much, Rima Crace, WNC's education reporter. Stay tuned to The State of Things. There is more to come. The State of Things is from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.